Don't touch that dial. You're listening to Board Games Daily, your daily dose of tabletop gaming discussion on Anchor. Now welcome your hosts, Jeremiah Isley, Scott Firestone, and AJ Skifstad.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Board Games Daily. I'm Jeremiah Isley. I'll be joined today by my good friends Scott Firestone and AJ Skifstad. We've got a topic this week that we'll discuss, and it's actually one I can't give too much input on, but it is very true, in fact, that there is a new number one on the Geek. Brass Birmingham has taken over the number one spot on the board game rankings, which I guess is a momentous thing. Filling out the top five is Pandemic Legacy Season 1, Gloomhaven, Ark Nova, and Twilight Imperium 4th Edition. We're going to discuss what this means. Does it mean anything? Do we have new number ones on our list? Or should Brass Birmingham be tops on everybody else's list? The reason I say I can't give a whole lot of input on it is because I haven't had a chance to play it. My buddy AJ had it, and we'll tell you what I'll let him tell that story. Anyway, as always, if you want to be a part of the show, you can do that by reaching out on Twitter at theologyofgames.com, as well as Facebook, Instagram, everywhere is at theologyofgames.com. You can also email us theologyofgames@gmail.com or head over to theologyofgames.com and click the little contact us button. Hey, we're going to get into this. We've got a few more things to talk about. I'm sure there's more going on that we need to discuss. So stick around. Thanks for tuning into Board Games Daily, powered by Theology of Games. Hey everyone, Jeremiah back here with my take on this week's topic, the new number one in town, and that town being, of course, Board Game Geek. So I actually have a different sort of spin on this, a different take, if you will. I haven't played Brass Birmingham, so yeah, cool. It's the number one game. You're some board game dude that does podcasts and stuff. Shouldn't you have played it? Well, yeah, I should have. But I mean, let's be honest, there's only so much time and so many games. I have a whole pile of games sitting on my shelf that I still haven't played. That's just how it's going to be. But what I do want to talk about is the concept of this number one. I think there's some interesting things about Brass Birmingham rising to the top as it did when it did. This game came out in 2018, so this isn't like a hype spike, you know? It's not a, oh wow, this game was super hot and everybody just decided to go and vote and rate it really high and push it to the top. It took some time. It was like this slow burn, but I think that's really cool. I think that's an interesting thing about just, I guess, board games in general, is that if they're good, they're good. You know, if you look at the top five, we've got Pandemic Legacy, Season 1, Gloomhaven, Ark Nova, Twilight Imperium, and then, you know, it goes down from there. But, you know, Pandemic Legacy is even older. It came out 2015. That's almost 10 years ago. Gloomhaven was 2017. If games are good. They're going to stay around. People are going to rate them highly on sites and places and give them those high scores. I think there's just something cool about that. You know, if you look at, like, I don't know, like, say music, right? There's a Billboard chart that ranks top songs and what's most popular. And a lot of times, that's just hype. That is literally just hype. Oh, this song is a TikTok trend, so it's spiking on the charts, or, you know, the one hit wonder. And some of those songs, you go back and like, oh man, they were a one hit wonder, but man, this song is a banger. It's great. I love it. I remember when I first heard it, it takes me back. But a lot of times you listen to some of that stuff and you're like, whoa, man, I don't know what we were thinking. Why did everybody like that so much? I think that's just an interesting dynamic of these two sort of art forms, where games, man, if they're good, they're going to last. Some of my favorite games are older. You know, my top game is The Resistance, which came out like 10, 11 years ago. We still play the crap out of El Grande, which came out in the 90s. I mean, look at how big Catan is. That game's been out forever. So I don't know. Those are my thoughts on this new number one thing. I think it's really cool that a game, it took 5 years, but it spiked and it made it to the top. It scratched and clawed its way. And that means it's probably really good. I should probably play it. I'll let AJ tell his story about why I haven't played it, but there's my thoughts. What do you think?
Hey everybody, AJ Skifstad here. It's my turn to weigh in on the topic of Brass taking the number one spot on BGG. And I guess I first want to say, we've talked about the number one spot or rankings on BGG before, and we know that it's all subjective based upon people who actually own the game and who are actually willing to post their thoughts and their opinions and rate the game. And that doesn't necessarily mean that, I mean, everything's opinion-based anyways, but I feel like there's lots of games out there that have more traffic, that people love way more, and just they're not willing to get on BGG and rank them. So what actually makes the game the best game or not, that's all very subjective in your opinion. But we do need to at least ascribe to the fact that BGG is the largest platform for posting opinions and rankings of games. And there is something to be said about that. And I've owned several of the games that have taken the number one seat since Twilight Struggle, which we all know sat there for a very long time. Until I think Pandemic Legacy was the first to take it over. And some of the games that have taken the number one seat, I felt have been worthy of that, and some I feel have not. So let me share some opinions on Brass and tell you what I think about that. So I picked up Brass somewhere around 2019-20, going into the COVID era. And at that point, there was a restriction set, not by COVID, but by my wife, which was, I am not going to play another board game with you for a year. So there was an April to April where I was not allowed to teach her a new board game, excuse me. I had been putting a lot of new board games in her face, and we were playing them, and she had finally been fed up, and that was enough. So I got Brass and I set it up several times, and she just did not want to play it with me. In addition to that, we had COVID restrictions, so my friends couldn't come over and play it. And this was tough. Like I said, I set it up multiple times, read through the rules multiple times, and put the game away multiple times, often because I was playing a game with Rachel that she did know already, or I was playing online. I had a digital camera that would sit over my table, and we'd play real-time games, and that was tricky, but it was fun. In any case, I got a little burnt on reading the rules, putting the game away, setting it up, reading the rules, and putting it away, and it kind of started to leave a bad taste in my mouth about the game. When I finally was able to play it, really, literally about a year later, COVID restrictions started to light it up a little bit, and my buddy Nate came over to play. We had a good experience with it. I knew the rules pretty well. The game by Roxley is beautiful. It's gorgeous. Components are great. The game plays exceptionally well. It really is a good game, no doubt about it. But I had a bad taste in my mouth about it from just the experience of setting it up, putting it away, reading the rules, and not actually playing. And I also had games that were kind of had the same weight, maybe didn't necessarily do the same thing. They weren't economic games necessarily. Games that had the same weight that I kind of wanted to hit the table a little bit more. And I ended up getting rid of the game. Now, that is something that I've come to regret often since then. I wish I wouldn't have been so hasty because I only played it once and I feel like it was a really good game. And I feel like had I played it one or two more times, it would have taken the place of some of those games that have a weight, that the same weight that I was selecting them over that right now. So I do regret it. Now, with that said, I traded it away. I traded it for a game called Lord of the Rings, Journeys in Middle Earth. I have played the heck out of Journeys in Middle Earth. I have had a fantastic experience with that game. I have two of the big box expansions, all of the minion expansions that go with it, and I have only like one campaign left that I have not played through. I have played that game far more than I would have ever played Brass by now, and not because I wouldn't want to play Brass, just because it is a heavier game and a longer game to get to, and I would do that with friends versus playing Lord of the Rings, which I can play with one person or I can play that by myself. And it is my number one solo game of all time. We're not here to talk about Lord of the Rings Journeys in Middle Earth. I'm sorry. But I do not regret the trade. I do not regret what I got in trade for it. I regret not owning the game. Now, the game's back in print. The game's not super expensive. So will I pick it up again? I probably will. Is it worthy of the number one seat? I don't know, but I'm excited to find out. By the way, if you don't know this already, it is a reprint. Brass had been around for some time before Roxley got a hold of it and redid it. Now, I don't know if that was Lancashire or Birmingham. I know there was only one before. I think it was Lancashire. But in any case, just want to let you know that this is not new. Just because it took the number one seed, this is not a new game. Brass has been around. I'm not sure if there's mechanical differences between the two games, but between the original Lancashire and the new Lancashire, and I believe it's Birmingham that has the number one spot anyways. I'm not sure about the mechanical differences, but I think they're pretty similar. So I guess just a reskin is what has really, really brought this game back into the limelight. And so for that, kudos to Roxley. And you know, if you haven't checked it out yet, I guess it's worth checking out. So I'm probably going to add it back into my collection. That's all I have to say about on it. So excited to hear the other guys' thoughts. Haven't listened in yet, but I'll listen a little bit later. See ya.
Hey everybody, it's Scott Firestone here, weighing in on the fact that Brass Birmingham is the new number one game on Board Game Geek. Now, I am a lover of Brass Birmingham. It's a great game, but I'm kind of surprised at this because it is a heavy, thinky, economic game. Some of the others I can understand: Pandemic Legacy. Pandemic is loved, and the Legacy game is amazing. So that doesn't surprise me being in the top five. Things like Twilight Imperium, that's pretty niche. But again, for people who love that, that is a great example of that kind of 4X, bash your neighbor sort of game. And I can't think of another economic game that is better than Brass Birmingham. I love it. We played it actually last week at my game group, again, before I even knew it had become the new number one. That might be why one of the guys picked it, because it triggered something and he said, hey, let's play that again. But we played it again. It's so great. I love this game. The Roxley edition is just amazing. Now, as AJ talked about, there are two different versions of this. The original was a game by Martin Walsh called Brass Lancashire. And it had, compared to the two, I would say it has like a stripped down version of it. I'm not saying it's a bad game. In fact, I probably haven't played it in 10 years, so I need to play it again. But a couple of guys took that basic design, added some stuff to it, and created Brass Birmingham. And it is a great game. It is the better game. It is so thinky, opportunistic. It's exactly what I love in a game, where you have this plan, and I'm going to do this, and then things happen in the game that cause you to pivot. And so in this game, somebody might be buying a bunch of iron. And so you weren't planning to build any ironworks, but now the market is empty. And if you build an ironworks, it starts with, I think, 4 iron on it. If there are any spots in the iron market, they immediately sell to the market. So you get cash and it flips your token over. So you go, I was not planning to build an Ironworks, but if I do it right now, I get 15 bucks and my thing flips and I get victory points. Guess I'm going into the Ironworks business. And the whole game is like that, where you're making these decisions about what to build, when to build it. There are some things you're going to build. You might really want beer because you need beer to be able to transport things in the game. And so it's kind of this tension where you're like, I want to build this beer works, but somebody else might take my beer from me. And in a way, that's a good thing because it can flip over your thing and you get victory points for it. But in another way, you might be like, I actually want my own beer. And you can't keep somebody from using it if it's out there in the open. So do you try and build it on the same turn you use it? Sometimes you're not able to do that. It's so full of those kind of tensions that would drive some people crazy, and I love. So maybe you decide, you know what? I'm never going to get to see my own beer. Fine. I'll just make beer for other people. So you just keep building breweries, and other people use your beer, and you get victory points for it because it flips. It's great. I love this game. There's so much to think about. It's, you know, Martin Wallace has usually at least one major mechanism in the game that's very clever. And it's not always one he thought of, but he'll utilize it. In this one, I think it's the fact that whoever spends the least on a turn goes first. That's the turn order for the next turn. And so you're like, I really want to build all these things to do this incredible thing next turn. But if I build those things, I'm going to go last. And so there's more tension of, maybe I don't do that thing. Maybe I spend a turn doing this other thing that's way cheaper so that I can go first next turn. All these things to think about. If you like thinky, heavy, shift on the fly kind of games, this might be the one for you. And it's weird because as I say this and I describe all these things you have to do, it reminds me a lot of another economic game that is highly regarded, Food Chain Magnet. And I actually owned that game. I won it in a contest and I played it a few times and I realized this is a great game and it's one I'm never going to be good at. And I just didn't enjoy the experience of it enough to keep it. And I know lots of people who would say they're very similar. Food Chain Magnet and Brass Birmingham are similar weights, both economic games. How can you like one and not the other? And I can't explain it. It's very possible that the aesthetic has a lot to do with that, because Food Chain Magnet is by a small company, Splatter Games, and they kind of have this minimalist design feature. I didn't hate the art, but like the board is very stark, very white, very boring, whereas the board for Brass Birmingham is gorgeous. And there's two sides of it. You can play on a light, kind of a daytime side, a dark, industrial, Charles Dickens kind of nighttime side, and the player boards have two sides on them. If you get the deluxe edition, the iron clays that they use are beautiful. In fact, I love them so much, I bought a set of iron clays to use on other games because they're just so gorgeous. So for me, I find it interesting that Brass Birmingham made it to number one, but I think that really speaks to how solid it is, because it is a niche game. And the fact that it rose to number one means that there are people who like those sorts of games, like games, and said, this is the best. And I can't really argue with them. It's not my favorite game by any means. I love The Resistance. I love Princes of Florence. But those are very different games. Those are much lighter games. This is a heavy, thinky game. And I think if you like those sorts of games, you've got to play this. You owe it to yourself. And AJ is crazy to have gotten rid of this, and I hope he gets his own copy again, or somebody there does, because playing a single two-player game and then getting rid of it is like criminal. So AJ, get this game again. It's worth it. It's the number one, and I can't argue a bit with that. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks for joining us today. Board Games Daily is powered by TheologyOfGames.com. Don't forget to head over to TheologyOfGames.com to check out all we have to offer, including written reviews, our YouTube channel, and two other podcasts. If you enjoyed this show, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you're listening. Thanks for listening, and go put a game on the table.